Calling all lovers of mystery. Prepare to don your detective hat in June's Journey, a free, hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective who is on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. Take a trip in time to the glitzy 20s to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. If, like me, you get sad when a story comes to a close, never fear. With June's Journey, the thrill is endless, since new chapters are added weekly. And not only can you enjoy the detective adventure, but you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island, where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to Scam Wow. I'm your host, Caitlin Brodnick. I love you and I love scams. Guys, today is the second part of our episode we released last week about Frank Abagnale, who was the Catch Me If You Can scam man and has gone on to be a public speaker, to travel the world, to talk about all of his incredible journey and experiences and all of his opinions on how to be a good guy, con man. And then also, we have an amazing guest, Molly Thomas, who's a comedian. We met through UCB. She writes comedy. She improvises. She's so amazing. She and I continue to talk about his cons and scams. And what's coming out now is most of them, almost all of them, are unfounded and not true. And he made a lot of it up. So if you haven't heard that episode, listen to it before this one to get all of the context, because we referenced a ton of everything that was happening. We had to break it into two episodes because the episode did completely change for Molly and I. We felt that while we were recording, in the middle of it, another discussion came up. And a trigger warning for anybody who is sensitive to this, we talk about basically the lack of Me Too movement and the lack of awareness that anyone had about how men were treating women at that time in the 70s and 60s. People being extremely sexually explicit with women. So this is actually still on the same topic. We're still, Frank Abagnale is still the subject. So that's why I say listen to episode one, part one of this. But we talk about really what that meant for all of these women at that time. And Molly and I share very personal stories. And so if you've had any of this experience, we are here for you. We support you. This might be also triggering. Sometimes I don't want to re-listen to somebody else's experience if I felt something similar. So no pressure. I adore you all. Thank you for being incredible listeners. Thank you to the amazing men who support and love this podcast, and women, and all of you. So we love you so much. I hope you enjoy it. And Molly is my favorite person to talk about the most disturbing thing with. This is supposed to be a comedy podcast, but when you, sometimes you just can't shy away from the reality that's facing you so strongly. So I hope you guys enjoy. Always reach out to us, ScamWow Podcast on Gmail, ScamWow Podcast on Insta, Twitter. You can probably find my cell phone number. We're here for you. I love you all. Enjoy.
Thank you.
think there's so much that people get away with and scammers get away with people just other people, strangers or their victims, just being nice, just thinking yes. the best out of people, just trying to share, just the things that you learn in kindergarten. And these con artists are sociopaths. And also that part of fear, like the fear is generating, as you're saying, like everything, not just his smelly ass, but like generating how he's going to get the next, you know, donut, like how he's going to feed himself, how he's going to live, how he's going to get to the next con. That fear then makes him very malleable. The fear makes him change and adjust everything for the Johnny Carson show. Like it keeps him on his toes. So he's never really rested. He still must be. Now, has he come out about anything since this book was released or anything recently?
No, I don't think he ever will. He just keeps changing the story.
Right, 'cause it's all his memory. There's no documentation of this. It's just like, remember when I did this? Oh, I must have made that mistake. It was this year.
Well, his book has very few dates and specific details.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's this kind of glossy, quick, and then yeah. I did this and this and this. So he'll go into detail about like how to forge a check, but...
That's amazing. He's like, I don't know the dates per se,
right.
the 7th, the 8th, 2019, whatever, but this is how you forge a check.
Here's what a check looks like.
That's so funny. Here's right. how you erase the number and put it into your bank account.
Right. And it's wow. not even that detailed. It's like, and the book talks, the Alan Logan book talks a lot about how shitty his checks were and how obvious they were. He did float 10 bad Pan Am checks totaling $1,500. So he inflated that to $2.5 million, but it was $1,500.
Okay. And he did, I think he went to jail for forgery. So that was like really his bread and butter from the beginning.
You know what? His forgeries were not good, according to the new book.
Or what he thought. He thought they were great.
A thing he did a couple of times, he would steal checks from the back of somebody else's checkbook. And then he would just write checks.
Okay.
With somebody else's.
Check. Yeah.
Right. He did that a couple times. Just shit like that. That's like...
just shitty.
Just gross stuff.
Yeah. So there are all these things that this person's doing. Just sort of like obvious, like immature, childish, really like he peaked in his brain at 16 and just kept going. Like just kept lying, just kept stealing. But what we can't really... I don't even know where to continue the conversation is that it's becoming very clear he... harmed many women. Like it's like yes. we could keep, like, it's so distracting. Like we could talk about any of the Pan Am things, good about like lying, but like the fact that he duped these women, the fact that he's proud that he has private quarters with women, the fact that he's bragging about touching their bodies with no one aware, there's just like, that's where you just can't even continue the discussion. Like there's nothing
right, there's nothing charming about that.
No yeah, there's nothing interesting. It just ends there.
Yeah. Yeah. For me too. Mark Zinder is interviewed in The Greatest Hoax on Earth, which is the Alan Logan book, a number of times. And Mark Zinder saw Frank Abagnale speak when Mark was in college and then brought him to his college and then ended up managing him and getting him on all of these speaking gigs for like 2 years for a very short amount of time. And he talks about, he would get him these like lucrative gigs, but he insisted that Mark come with him on these college gigs or these speaking gigs. He insisted that they shared a room with two beds. And then if he was going to bring a woman over, he would just say Z. And that was the code that Mark Zinder had to leave the room so that Frank could have a woman come in.
Why can't he have his own room then? Why is he like, that's weird.
Well, it's like something about dominating him or being the boss, all of this stuff. And he said there was one night he kicked him out three different times for three different women to come over.
Yeah.
And he says, like, I don't know what happened. I was not in the room, but I can tell you I was in the room. And then he kicked me out for a woman to come over. And that happened over and over and over.
Oh, this smelly, smelly man. I love smart people, but this isn't a smart person. This is just like a disgusting person.
Right.
A real disgusting person. Because there's an interest to me in being artistic. Like that, like forging a pilot's like decal is not a good thing to do. But I'm like, wow, that artist must have been really talented. Like, I just think it's so fascinating. I think it's fascinating, like, you know, figuring out how to get the best of something or the amount of like brain work behind these things. But then when it comes into the creepiness and sexual assault. It's like, come on, like that, you plainly have victims. And for him to say, for him to brag about all of this stuff that he did and say, and there were never any victims, he had no concept that he was victimizing women sexually. Like, he's bragging about these women in his book saying, and there were no victims, because he doesn't believe that sexually, I don't want to say extorting or like sexually harassing or whatever he was doing made them victims. That's also insane.
Right. Well, and all the men he was lying to too, like to say, if I didn't steal money from them, then it wasn't a crime.
Right.
But it's like, if you lied to somebody and you broke their trust and you tricked this woman.
Oh, they fed him, they housed him, they everything.
Right. Right. Yeah. They got him out of jail. Just all of this stuff. It's just, yeah, it's really. So one of my big questions about it too was like, wait a minute, Steven Spielberg, like Amblin Entertainment, like these guys must have, how did they not know? They must have done their research. They must have, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they must have is the thing that makes it really slimy. It's like, oh no, they knew, but it does make a really good story. And at the beginning of the movie, it says inspired by true events. It doesn't say the story is true, but it's still so slimy. And then there's an interview with Spielberg when the movie came out where he says that when he was 16, he dressed up in a suit and went onto the Warner Brothers lot and said, or Universal Studios, one of them.
It's fine.
He went onto the lot. He said that he was a director. He put a fake sign on a door and like started meeting with producers and directors and whatever. And so in 2002, he says this in an interview. And then it's like, oh, they're the same. They both did it. Apparently in the 1960s, you could just wear a suit if you're a white dude and say that you were anything.
That privilege is incredible.
But then that story on Snopes, that story is debunked. Like, so that's a story he's talked about.
So Steven Spielberg's story is fake?
Yeah, he kind of did the same thing according to Snopes.com, which is, that's when I really start feeling slimy. It's like, oh no, everybody's just.
Well, they're all a part of this fabrication. I mean, like at the end of the day, like Spielberg wants to create this, you know, this moment, this glimmer. They're all storytellers.
Right.
It actually like weirdly doesn't surprise me. So fucking annoying. It's like people talk about the American dream. They say like you can get what you want if you work at it. No, a lot of times you can get what you want if you appear to be incredibly confident and in a position of power already, and you can get other people in a position of power. It's just like so much lying. And so, yeah, I can totally see that they're like, it's fine. We'll just say it was inspired by. And at the time, even like, when did Catch Me If You Can come out?
2002.
Yeah, anything before the Me Too, women are still being treated horribly. I mean, like, there's still this, like, extreme undercurrent of, my God, I remember, like, improv classes at, like, 2006, and it was like, it's very new and very fresh and very trendy to care about women's bodies right now, because it was not. In 02, it wasn't in the thing right there. There were nobody being, like, no one's feet held to the fire, like nobody actually being like put in, made responsible for their like, for uncomfortable and sexual situations that they put women in.
Well, and in the movie and in the book too, it's always like these ready, willing, and able.
Oh, women. Yeah.
These women who want, like, it's a good time and these women want to have a good time. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And they all look the same. And it's that like perfect, it's that idea of like that, like America was so great or so nostalgic. And it was really at that time, it was that women were just holding these deep secrets for years and they're coming out with it now. Like that stewardess is finally saying, like, I was so uncomfortable. I was being stalked. And she's telling about it in the news now, when at the time it is all told also from his perspective. He's like, these women are, because they're sociopaths, are like, oh, these women loved me. They were eating it up. They thought I was so cool and so sexy. No, they were lying to your face. Like, they were faking orgasms. They were doing like whatever they do to kind of make you placated so they could leave the room quickly. Like, sure, you thought you were some big smart guy. Like, sure, you thought you were so clever because women were smarter than you and making you feel pretty great and then running away and telling everyone, don't trust that psycho.
Right.
Like, what's so nuts is that all of this and all the years before is that nobody counted how much work women were doing behind the scenes to either protect themselves, to get out of these situations, or to warn each other from these situations. And like, yeah, like those movies, they shoot these. Even, I didn't watch Wolf of Wall Street, but there's that like picture of like Margot Robbie with like her heel up on Leonardo DiCaprio's face. And it's like something romantic. I don't know. And it was that same sort of image of like the short skirt blonde in Catch Me If You Can, and just like this like plethora of women into it. And there's so much of that time of like literally women just like faking and lying and covering up shit so that they don't lose their jobs, so they can pay for their livelihood. Like there's so much panic and fear on their side that of course these men thought they were so smart because the women let them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And there's so much like when in the Paula Park story about like, I thought that telling him that I was going to my parents' place would like, would get rid of him. Or like, I thought he would drive me there. I would make it very clear all along the drive that I was not interested in him. And then he would go home. And he just didn't care.
Mm-mm. And also he's telling his own narrative. Like he's like, she's so into me. So then in his book, he's writing about how this stewardess fell in love with him. And that wasn't actually what was happening. All these people are telling themselves like, God, I'm so good at this. That's also what's so bonkers is like, and also not surprising, just for years, so many men had this inner dialogue that was never questioned. They just kept going. They're just like, wow, I'm really hot. And everyone's like, not quite, but you know, I'll just be nice until you can leave. I'll give you, like she was saying, like her family gave Southern hospitality to just hope kindly this person would leave them alone. And then he's stealing from her little brother and stuff.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Well, and I've had plenty of times in my life, like especially when I was younger and dating people, I'm like, okay, I'll just let them, whatever. Yeah. I'll let them kiss me, or I'll let them think that they're charming or whatever, and then I'll leave, and then it'll be done with. Mm-hmm. Just so many times that it's like,
yes, it's so common. Even something so simple of like that joke of. Like you see somebody going through so much trouble and you're like, all right, it's fine. Like, I'll just leave.
Right.
I was sexually assaulted. It was like, I was like, okay, they're going to stop. All right. They're going to not be doing this anymore. Okay. Like I've made it clear. I've already said, and then it like never stopped. And I did get him in so much trouble though, and sent him to like judicial affairs in my college, and the police came and he got into a lot of trouble. And but the whole time he was like, I thought it was great. Like that was the thing too, is that like, this was like a weird person that thought me saying like please leave was like a foreplay or something.
It's like baby, it's cold outside, right?
Yeah,
but just like
literally being like leave my apartment. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, yeah, maybe this is. I don't want to be so dark, but it's so true. There's so much of this. I have an appreciation for creativity and thriftiness and you know. Double, triple thinking and finding the best way in a situation. But then there's just so much of that we hear of right now, specifically of like the times in the 70s and 80s, like so much of that, I really think were these people lying to themselves. It wasn't as great as they had assumed. It wasn't, they were just really taking advantage of people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's certainly what he was doing. He was just taking advantage.
And then he's telling, and he's on Google, like, guys, look how good I took advantage of these people.
Right,
look how good I did. Yeah.
Look how good I did. But now I work for the FBI. And he does not work for the FBI. Like the audacity to go and say that you work for the FBI. He also does this thing at the very beginning of the Google talk. He says, like, if you'll excuse me, it's allergy season. So if I get tripped up, you know, my allergies are whatever. So he says it's allergy season. And then the other thing he says is, which I guess he's been saying for 40 years, is I don't often talk about my life.
But for these past 40 years, I don't often talk about my life, just on Johnny Carson.
Yeah, right. So that's how he starts all the time. It's like, I don't often talk about my life, but Google asked me to come on and do something different. So he poses like he's a cybersecurity.
It's his first time. Underdog.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. He's got the whole lingo down. He has it totally down. He has studied how to manipulate people.
Absolutely.
And how to influence them.
Absolutely.
And how to look like pathetic and then a hero. Like it's incredible.
It's very studied, and that is skillful.
Yeah. But the sex part. It's like there is a thing too of like if you're a good storyteller, if you can spin a tale, it's interesting. It's fascinating. Like, yeah, like if there's no harm in that. But yet the bottom line is that there was so much harm that he considered not harmful.
Right.
Not a big deal.
Right.
Which is so insane.
Yeah.
Like the more scams we do, the more upset I get sometimes because I have an appreciation for scams. I love, like I was saying, I love artistry, but this stuff is so dark and icky. And that's the part where drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's really icky. And then it's just on you. You're thinking about this and then you can't help but see everything through that lens. And
yes. Well, yeah. It's interesting. So I will say growing up, though, my mom was always like, men are disgusting. Like, just know, bottom line, the basis of men are gross and disgusting. And you weed through that and you will start your view of life that way. And it was the best thing in the world. Like, it was she helped me so much in life just to be like, yeah, their first response is like the grossest response. Some men, the few that aren't, that's really special. And that's how you can figure out like, oh, this is a guy I want to talk to a second time. But she's like, they're pretty disgusting and gross and stupid. Like, there's just like, she was just like, the barometer was wonderfully made so low. So I sort of went in with all this skepticism. And she was a beautiful blonde in the 70s and 80s. She was like super hot and everybody liked her. And she, I mean, for everything that she had to go through, she made sure to her best ability, I didn't have to go through any of that. And that's the thing too, is that like all of these women that have had these experiences, I'm just hoping that, I think that's why our generation has been more savvy and aware, because women aren't shutting up about this. You know, like maybe two generations before, maybe 50s, you just kind of like held your breath and it,
I don't know. I think you're giving us a lot of credit. I think you're saying we've moved on maybe a lot more than we have, or at least me. Like, I remember, I think I was given a pretty similar message from my mom. Like, a lot of men are dirty, disgusting, stupid pigs.
Yeah.
But then that's why if I would be with somebody and he was like that, it was like, oh, he's like that. He can't help it.
Oh,
instead
see,
of being like, and so now I'm leaving. He can't help it. I'm so much smarter than he is. It's like, well, he's trying to push your head down. So you give him a blowjob. It's probably time to leave.
I agree. And I think there's so much of being a woman where you're just like, wait, is this actually happening? Like, I remember the first time that happened to me, he was like, can I have a blowjob? And I was like, what? Like, I was like, wait, you want? It was like this weirdo guy. Not weird. I liked him, but it was like, what? And like, of course, everything happened to me in college because I was so nervous all throughout high school. But it was like 2 in the afternoon. I was like, you want that? Like, I just, it was like, there was nothing romantic, nothing happening, literally just like sitting together. And I remember I feel like there has to be so much of the women's experiences of like, is this actually happening?
Absolutely.
Like, it happened so many times.
Me too. So often.
I was going to hook up with this guy and he like took off all of his clothes and got on me. And I was like, wait, do you have a condom? Like, and he was like, ugh, so annoyed. So then he goes and puts on a condom. And I was like, wait, I don't want to have sex with you. Like, I was like, no, I was a virgin. I thought we were just going to make out. And I said like, no, I don't want to have sex with you. And that was like a big like thing at that moment because he's naked on top of me, had put the condom on, like ready to jump on me. And I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, my first thought was just like, I can't believe you tried to have sex with me without a condom. Like, and I'm a virgin. Like, I was just like so confused. And then the second thing was like, oh, wait, I don't actually want to do this. He got so angry. He like stomped around, called his friends, said I was like a high school baby, like was such a dick to me. And I was like, I'm not having sex like this. Like, I'm not losing my virginity to somebody who can't even remember, like, who just literally walked into my dorm and was like, let's bone. It was so blown away. And then, of course, like, I talked about it to all my friends and everybody realized he was a creep. And the whole theater department was like, fuck that guy, because I can't keep my mouth shut. Like, I will tell if you are a creep. But I just remember that thing of like, there had to be so many of these moments too. And throughout life where women are just like, is this happening?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, when I first moved to the city, I'd been here about a year, and a friend of mine from Michigan who I'd acted with said, when you go to the city, I'm going to introduce you to, he said his friend's name, and I'll be kind and not say it, and then we won't get sued.
Yeah, I don't care.
So he said, I'll introduce you to him, and he's on a soap. Maybe he can get you some day player.
Wait, is his name Jake?
No.
Okay, good. Because I went to college with a guy named Jake who was on a soap, and I was like, if that's the fucking guy.
No, the other thing is this person is 20 years older than me. So 15 to 20 years older. So I really liked and trusted the actor who was connecting me with him. He was significantly older than I was.
Right.
And so I just went into this situation. I like called him or emailed or whatever. And he was like, hey, everybody from the cast or some of us are going out to this bar because somebody on the show is on Dancing with the Stars. And so like, you can come and watch this with us. And I was like, great. So I went and he was very
something
gracious.
Yeah.
And he bought me a drink and we talked. He introduced me to somebody else and I got a little drunk and it was really nice. And then, and then the show was over and I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And he was like, well, wait, where are you going? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go home. And he was like, oh, I'll walk you out. Great. Cause he was Grant's right. friend. Okay, here we go. And we're walking and I needed to go left to the train. We're in the Upper West Side. And then we like pass a stop and I'm like, well, we're walking and talking. It's cool. And fortunately I was like drunk enough that I was like loose. I was just going with the
walk.
Flow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Let's say I was
you're, like,
buzzed.
Going whatever. On a walk.
Yeah. I was like, great. We're just
that's
walking
what I mean.
And talking
yeah.
and he's in the industry. And so cool.
Of course. That's
and
interesting.
So we turn right and he lived in Connecticut with his wife and children.
Okay.
And so I knew that too. And so I was like, he's older. Grant's introducing me.
Fatherly
he's married
too.
Yeah. Just like older guy, whatever. This is how naive I was. So we turn right. I go, where are we going? And he goes, we're going in here. As a doorman opens a door and we walk inside a building and I'm like, why? This sounds so stupid, but I was like, why would a garage have a door? Cause I'm thinking he's going to his car to drive back to Connecticut.
Yeah. No, you're so new. You don't know. Yeah.
I was so new. And so trusting. So he goes, we're going in here. And we walk up and all of a sudden we're in his apartment. And I go, oh, I'm like, oh, I'm a theater actor. He's on TV. He wants to show off his apartment. So I barge right into this apartment.
Of
I'm like,
course.
All right. And I start going down the hallway and he goes, where are you going? And I said, I'm taking a tour.
I was like, good this, for you.
I thought, if this guy wants to show off his wealth, cool. I don't know what,
yeah,
like,
let's
I've
look
never.
At it. Do you have a washer dryer? Like,
oh my God, do you? So I walk through and I come back and he's sitting on the couch, like with one little lamp on in the living room. And I sit down on a chair, like not near
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And I'm just, and we're talking and a couple minutes passes. He offers me a drink. I say no. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to leave. And he's like,
yeah.
I'll walk you out. He walks me to a cab. He hands 20 bucks in the window as I get in the cab. And as the door closes and the cab pulls away, I realize he thought I was going to sleep with him.
Yeah.
But I was like trusting enough and had two drinks
yeah.
in me. And so it didn't even occur to me, thank God.
That's great. That's great. And that pressure didn't even build. But that's kind of great though, Molly, because like, can you,
total
there's
blessing.
Been situations, yes, where the pressure does build. And there's that moment of like, when you do know too much and then you have those thoughts in your head and then you feel guilty and you're like, well, I did say I liked the apartment. Does that mean I want to sleep with you? Like there's so many levels that like you start talking down yourself and I'm so happy you were drunk because then you could just sort of have the ballsiness of being like, peace,
yes.
you weirdo, which you don't
yes.
always feel that confident doing.
And fortunately,
know?
He didn't feel very strongly about
great.
Making anything happen. And so I could, but it's just like, it was that, is this truly happening? And
yes.
and this and it's just like, oh, this is how it happens. You trust somebody, you're just going with the flow, you're having fun, and then there you are.
Yeah. And also all the pressure is on that woman the whole time. So it's either like, so he and like that guy is like creating sort of all these like booby traps and like waiting for you to either fall into it, waiting for you to appease it, waiting for you to like give up whatever reservations you had. But like all of those situations of this guy being like so fabulous and smart and whining and dining, in all of the situations, the pressure was on the woman in all those times. All of the situations that he's so proud of, that he's bragging about, the panties in the pocket, all of that puts the onus and the pressure on all of these women.
Right.
He wasn't that great. He just had a bunch of women who made him feel fine and placated him enough to get out of that situation.
Right.
He did nothing.
Right.
He's a nothing. He's a piece of shit. And it was really
truly
these women that, because for him to then have these stories to brag that things went so smoothly, it was the artistry of these women surviving to let it go real chill with the flow. For these,
right,
these are talented, smart, beautiful women who are like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, I'm just gonna like slip out. You're so attractive. Let me put on some jazz music and then I'm gonna escape out the back door. You don't even notice.
Right.
Like, yeah, have a couple more drinks. I'll tell you how smart and charming you are, and then I will never see you again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I'll get out of this alive. And that's what women are doing and have always done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Women are the heroes in this.
Absolutely. And honestly, that's the book that I would love to read. It's like, just
I'd love to read
any woman who ever yes. came in contact with this dude. It's like, cool. Well, here's actually what was going on with me then. And here's,
yes.
and here's my whole life. Like, so that,
yes.
so that that's not their story. It was the one time they interacted with him, but like,
no,
what happened?
Oh my you. God. Yeah. Do you know what I want to know about these women who were at that time in the 60s and 70s, you had an independent job as a stewardess. You weren't someone's wife then. You were young enough to be probably your entire family wanted you to be married off and have kids by then, or have a couple kids by then. You're exploring the world, doing things by yourself. Like mm-hmm. even nowadays, like at times when I did my speaking gigs, I traveled alone to Europe and Israel and was like, wow, I'm doing this shit by myself. And I felt very strong and brave and even nervous still because of like all
sure.
the risks. But can you imagine in the 60s when half the kidnappings you didn't even hear about? I mean, like half the stuff was like the boys right. club. Like it wasn't even mentioned.
Right.
You know, you can't tweet something. You can't live stream some horrible thing happening. Like things, women were just taking it into their onus to just go and take care of themselves. That's that. Those are the true heroes and artists, you know, like mm-hmm. the artistry of like just being able to make this idiot and all the men around them think that everything was fine. It
right.
was the good old days yeah. as they, you know, like put a sleeping thing in his drink so they could escape the room, you know?
yeah. yeah.
Yeah. God, I love these women. Also, oh. I will say I've never heard of a woman in my entire life who hasn't had a creepy, disgusting situation happen to her.
Oh, yeah.
I've never had anyone say it's never, ever happened to me. And if they have, then they're like, well, this one thing did happen and it ended up being pretty creepy, but they've sort of like had to write it in their brain to cope, you know?
Oh, yeah. And multiple.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Multiple.
Oh, multiple.
Multiple.
Multiple. Just, multiple. Multiple.
Yeah.
Just creepy ass things. It's so funny. Like, so Lewis is watching this. Okay. We let him watch a lot of TV, like we were saying. And he watches... I hate anything on YouTube because it's not at all helpful.
Right.
But he likes these two idiot kids called Nikki and Vlad, and they're Russian, but they live all over the world and they're worth billions of dollars and they do these like really stupid videos. And I think he likes it because the mom plays with him and the mom is like, oh, hello, hello. And like the mom, I think, reminds him of me. So I think he thinks it's like kind of funny. So I know it's a little bit of a compliment, but they have this stupid thing where they go like, this is for girls. This is for boys. Ew, girls. And they have this like real dumb, old timey, even though it was made this week, impression of girls versus boys in like a bunch of their videos. And Alan and I were like, Lewis, girls rule. Girls are, and Alan and I will stop the video and be like, this is terrible. Girls are better than boys. And girls are amazing and really nice. And Lewis was like, no, mom and dad, girls are gross. Boys rule. And we're like, no, 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 no. And so then we stopped the video and we were like, Lewis, you know, mommy's a girl and Connor's girlfriend, Ison's a girl and Gammy's a girl, this, that. And he goes, huh, you know what? I do like girls.
Oh.
All right. Yeah. Like, okay. I just was like, that thing of like, we are stopping media. We are stopping things. Like, we're not going to let this little, like, you know, phrase fester at all. And he goes, and we're like, you know, Nikki and Vlad, they're wrong. Like sometimes they're wrong. If, even though it's on TV and even they're talking about like they're wrong, they must not know all the cool girls, you know. And Lewis loves girls. He says, hey girl, like as much as he can. Like he he wears a backpack with Sky and Liberty from the Paw Patrol. Like he is the ultimate girl fan. We are just like aggressively being like, oh, that's really stupid. And so Lewis is like, yeah, they don't know. They must not know any cool girls. Like they must be mistaken. You know, I just like, that's how we're coping.
It's just insidious. And it gets passed down in ways you don't even realize.
No. And so we're very, very aggressive. Like anything he wants is like in pink. I'm like, let's get it in pink. Let's get it in purple. Let's do it. Let's make it girly. Let's celebrate it. So it's not. And like, I'm not extremely gender focused or put up a fuss or whatever, but I just, because I feel also I could, like, you could go in the opposite direction and kind of like
push it on,
make your kids really nervous. Mm. Yeah. And also they're just like, why? We're all great. So if you're like, you're all great, they're like, was there a different option? Like, was I not supposed to be, like, you know, I try to be really chill with it. But if there's like a pink option, he loves pink, I'm like, let's go for it. Let's just be like, not a big deal about it. But I hate men.
bad dudes.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
The more I read, the more it felt like, oh, are we adding fuel to the fire by even doing this podcast, which you must feel right as you're talking about scammers. It's like, but now we're still talking about this guy.
You know, though, yes, but at the same time, like, I hope that we have a lot of amazing male listeners. We have some incredible people, amazing listeners who've become guests, who've become close friends, like, who are lovely people in my life. And my husband, my family members, like really cool ass people that listen. And I do think that it's worth, with all of these scams, what we're talking about is like the human experience, and it's usually coping. So are these con artists trying to cope because they don't have enough money and they need to make more money? You know, is it, what level is the scam? Are they coping, or are they trying to succeed in life because everyone thought they were stupid and they're going to show them how smart they are, or whatever it is. But, you know, the victim of the scams and their coping strategy with this, I think is really important to talk about. And I think we're probably going to adjust this episode so it probably talks more about the women, because their skill set of being able to make this guy think he was such an expert was really their coping in this situation, and them sort of playing into that scam of like, sure, you're going to think you're so cool and smart. I'm just going to do whatever we need to do then to get to the next, you know, port and get away and not have to see you again. And I think that is, I enjoy talking about scams because I think that it's so much on how we try to survive as people. Like we don't want to get bamboozled by like extra shipping fees, or we don't want to feel that like this whole time, you know, there was a free program that our kids could go to school in, but we've been paying hand over fist because somebody told us this program. Like we're all trying to navigate. And I think as human beings, we're aware that there are a lot of things out there to get us, like whatever it is, good, bad, like there's just a lot. And so I think that the fascination of avoiding it and trying to get out of scams, and hopefully in this episode, anyone listening can feel the confidence, the strength that we have your back to say like, no, I'm not into that. You know, I'm not really that comfortable. I don't really feel like it. Like your feelings of your self-worth aren't that important to me if you're a bad person. You know, like I don't need to share. I don't need to be kind with a creep. Like I don't need to placate you, and I don't need to co-sign your bullshit. And I think that's like a big part of not giving him more time. It's calling this person out and saying, what a fucking idiot this guy was. What a loser.
And actually, that reminds me, there's a story about the camp. The women were creeped out by him the whole time. They never bought it. The guys thought he was great. They thought he was fun. And the women always found him creepy. And at one point, they finally decide, like, ugh, let's send him a message that he's a creep. And they just dump a bucket of water on his head. That's it. And it's like people are sitting by the lake or the pool or whatever, and they dump a bucket of water on his head. He gets incensed. He reams them all out, and he leaves the camp. That was the end of him at the camp.
Of course. That's amazing.
So that's what we're doing. We're dumping a bucket of cold water on his head.
Well, yeah. But it's also like, that's so crazy. This piece of shit, he didn't need anything but water. Right. Literally half his body is made out of water. Like they're at a camp. I'm sure there's water everywhere. So all they did was put water on this fragile little bitch.
Right.
And he leaves the camp because his ego is so shattered.
Yes.
Because he's such a loser.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's pretty that's pretty delicious.
That's kind of amazing. And that's a book I want to read. I want to read those campers. I want to see that story being like, because that's the thing too that happens a lot. And a lot of our listeners will be like, does anybody else think this is nuts? Like, there's that like camaraderie with other people, with other women, with other listeners being like, isn't this bonkers? Like, why are we believing it? Like, why are we sort of sucking up to this or putting up with this when we should all say, get out of here?
Right.
And they did. And I love that story.
I'd forgotten.
That's such a good story. I'm sorry if I bummed you out for this podcast.
You did not bum me out at all. No, this is fantastic.
I mean, I just love talking to you.
I love talking to you.
And babies. Because I try to think like what I can say to teach my son, and like what, because like we both have white boys, and I'm like, how do I make it clear that like there was just such a like perfectionism and preciousness with men of that time of like he's maybe it was that women were holding them up like, oh, he's so delicate, you don't want to hurt his feelings. It's like, no, you can hurt his feelings. He'll be fine and he'll cope with it and he'll move on. He'll be a comedian. Like it's okay. They don't have to get everything they want.
And then he'll, you know, assault people backstage.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. God. I hate people. I hate people. Well, Molly, you're wonderful. This was wonderful.
So are you. This was.
Where can all of our people find you, stalk you healthy, keeping a distance?
Please do a healthy stalking. Don't show up when I get off of a flight. Please.
Don't you dare. You can watch her on Instagram, anything she chooses to share.
That's true. I'm on Instagram. You can look at my website and hopefully you'll see me on stage soon.
Yes, I'll link everything in the notes. Everybody can follow you, like you, appreciate you because you're brilliant and you are a journalist and you are incredibly smart. And so I cannot thank you for this good work.
Thank you so much. I'm going to take You Are a Journalist and I'm going to make a whole new website and I'm just going to list all of my awards and accreditations as a journalist.
I love that.
Abigail style.
You should.
What's
going to stop you? Also, what's so crazy is that, as you were saying, it was debunked and they're like, let's still make a movie. Like, obviously, what is going to stop you?
Right. Nothing. Nothing. It's just a snowball. So I'm going to do that with journalism.
I think that's a great idea. Especially journalists. They don't check it either.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Oh my God. Thank God Alan is, because he's always like, Caitlin, that's fake. He's constantly telling me, like, you're reading something that's not true. And I was like, whoops. Whoopsies. I got duped again. Amazing. This was so fun. I could talk forever. And this was lovely.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for riding this journey with us, which really surprised Molly and I. We were like, wow, this is what actually we really deeply feel we need to discuss. And I don't know how much we discussed it before on ScamWow. And this felt like exactly what we needed to do at this time. And I'm really happy we did. And I'm so grateful for Molly for being so generous, for sharing everything, her crazy stories. Life is insane. And I just love her to death. She's brilliant and she's so funny. So thank you guys so much. Again, we love you. We support you. Thank you to all of our amazing listeners. I do have an episode out on Patreon right now where I talk about sort of the uncomfortable side of scams and how sort of dealing with that, with trying to have fun and be lighthearted and appreciate the artistry, which I mentioned many times during this podcast, can get tainted with the reality. I love you guys and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.